stand if you have your Bibles. If you don't, need to get you one.
Amen.
Amen. These old people's having time to get up there. There you go. This is my Bible. It's the infallible Word of God. It's my roadmap in life. And I follow His instructions on my journey to heaven. And God, people say what?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 28. I'm just going to read one verse, number 6. He is not here, for He is risen as He said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Dear Lord, we thank You for today. Lord, I thank You so much for the Spirit we've had already. Lord, I know that You're speaking hearts even as we stand here right now. We ask You, God, to continue to be with people. Help us realize, Lord, that You are a risen God, and that You did do all that for us. I ask You, God, to be with me. Help me be Your messenger. Help me decrease as You increase. And God, I praise You for all of it. In Your name, I pray. Amen. Thank you, baby. Seated. You know, a godly man named George lived in the Midwestern states, Nebraska. He was a farmer, and he had some newly mowed hay that was laying out there that was, you know, a livelihood of his. It was on Easter Sunday. A storm was coming, and it could ruin his crop because it hadn't been put up in the barn yet. So his neighbor came running over and said, George, let's get up your hay because this storm's going to ruin it if we don't get it up. George said, thank you, neighbor, but today is God's day, and I'm going to church. I'm carrying my family to church. And as the neighbor predicted, the storm came through, ruined his hay crop. And when he came back the next day, he says, yeah, I told you it would ruin your hay crop. And George said, well, maybe it did, but I saved my family. Amen. Amen. We need to make that a priority of leaving our family the way we should. And I'm thinking about what a difference Easter makes. Resurrection happenings. I want to speak to you that today. What a difference Easter does make with happenings during the resurrection. Now on these 10 verses, 1 through 10, I have four things I wanted to mention today, the Lord being my helper. I know we've taken up a lot of time, so if you get through before I do, hang on. I'll be done in just a few minutes. I'll be as brief as I can. But see, I think about Sunday happenings. Well, it used to be on Sunday happenings, people didn't. They went to church and worshiped. They didn't run to the lake. They didn't even cook meals. They didn't go to the store. They didn't work. They served God, and they believed that that was God's day, so they gave Him the respect that was due. I mean, Sunday had him back in the old days. They went to Sunday school and went to church, had the Lord's Supper, gospel singing, people professing Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord and Savior. They had baptism and Bible studies and Christian service and youth meetings and stuff like that on Sunday. But not anymore. See, we've gotten away from those Sunday happenings that all Christians should believe in and participate in. And most of all, Christians are saved or children of God should be excited about doing things for the Lord on those Sunday happenings the way we should be done. They help shape our lives in a good way, in a godly way. Actually, those Sunday happenings help shape our country, if you believe that or not. Amen. Well, if God be my helper for a few moments, I want to talk to you about four happenings from these verses. And I only read one, but there's a few of them in there, about the resurrection of Christ, how to live, and what we can learn from these. Number one is, the first happening was the stone was rolled. And that verse is in number two. And the Bible says, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Boy, that was a happening if there ever was a happening. That'd be something to get your attention right quick. Amen. I'm sure it would. You know, now I never really rolled many stones in my youth, but I threw a lot of them. Amen. I mean, we throw stones and not even using stones. If you catch my drift on that one. But I threw a lot. I remember when I was in elementary school one time, me and this other boy got a stone throwing contest and who could hit each other. I finally hit him right here and he hit me right here. We was called in his principal's office. And naturally, he said, were you throwing a stone? Yes. But he was throwing rocks at me too. Amen. That's usually the way it is. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 and 18 tell us, recompense to no man evil for evil. Amen. If he throws a stone at you, just dodge it out of the way and let it alone. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Don't throw stones just because they threw one at you. Make peace. Don't cause any problems. Love people. Don't fight people. While we may throw stones, remember God rolls stones. Amen. And he rolled a big one out of the way of that tomb that day. See, he rolls the big stones and the right stones in the right directions at the right time. Amen. I'm glad he rolled one and hit me one day and got my attention that I need to give my life to him. And if you're here sitting here today and if one hits you, if it's a spiritual stone, it's telling you you need to get right. You need to adhere to that call. Amen. Amen. See, when God sent his angel to roll away that stone at the tomb of Jesus, that stone was a wheel type of granite, about 8 feet tall, about a foot thick, and weighed about 8,000 pounds or so. And so let me tell you something. When God rolls stones, he doesn't do it halfway. Amen. Amen. When he just as God rolled away that stone, God can also as easily roll away those stones in your life that have you bound, to keep hitting you day after day and knocking you in the head and say, I need to get something out of my life and I can't do it. This stone's always in my way. If you'll only ask him, all you have to do is ask. Hallelujah. Lord, I don't know what to do about these stones that are hitting me every day. Let me tell you something. When God throws stones, it hits. But when he moves them, he moves them. If you'll just ask him to get that thing out of your life that's keeping you bound and troubled, and that hidden sin in your life, that stone that's really got... Did you know that a crocodile keeps stones in its stomach to grind up even bones and horns of animals they eat? But the inside of a crocodile's stomach is so acidic that it would eat through metal. That's the way our sin is sometimes. It gets so acidic in our life that it eats away at the core of our being. And we cannot have any joy or happiness because, let me tell you something, if you need those stones moved from your life, you need to ask God. God, get rid of these stones from me. And I'm going to tell you right now, when he rolls them away, he rolls them away. The stone that was moved, not for Jesus. He was moved for those women, not so Jesus come out, because so those women could go in and see that he was not there anymore. Hallelujah. All of us need stones rolled away. Stones of doubt, stones of fear, stones of uneasiness, stones of distress, whatever it is, we need them rolled away from our lives. Back in the 1800s, a big general in the English Revolution was sent out on business. As typical, they took the servant with them, or secretary, if you will, and the secretary or servant stayed with them everywhere they went, even in the same room when they slept. So one night, this general was sleeping in this strange room, and he was having these dreams, and he couldn't sleep. And so his servant woke him up and said, "What's wrong, master?" And he said, "Why can't you sleep?" He said, and the general said, "I'm afraid something's going to go wrong in the meeting tomorrow." And the servant said, "Well, may I ask a question or two?" And the general said, "Yeah, of course." The servant said, "Well, did God rule the world before we were born?" "Most assuredly he did." "Well, will he rule it after we're gone?" "Certainly he will." "Then, general, why not him rule the present too?" See, listen, God was here before you was there. He's going to be here after you're gone. And listen, we need to let him rule us while we're here. If you just ask him. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus did for us when he died and rose again. So we could have the faith to let God rule our present time. Today is a day of salvation. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." Amen. Listen, church, God still moves stones. He rolls away those stones that have your way blocked. if you'll just ask him. Second happening that I read was the guards feared. That's in verse 4. And it says, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Let me tell you something. Now, if I was sitting somewhere in a big old 8,000-pound stone got rolled away all of a sudden, and then an angel sitting on top of it, I'd faint too. I would act like I was dead, whether I was or not. That's what happened. The guards feared was the second happening in this little story that I read. Read a story of a plane load of people who were flying across the Atlantic Ocean. And a voice came over their intercom and said, "We're now flying at 35,000 feet. And if you'll notice, out the right window, two engines on the right side are on fire. And the engines on the left side had to be stopped. If you'll look directly below, you'll see a yellow sea recovery raft with six small dots on it. The dots are the pilot, the co-pilot, the flight engineer, the navigator, two hostess. This is a recording." Now listen, if that doesn't cause fear, you know it's a little comical joke, but if that doesn't cause fear in someone, nothing will. But the problem is we don't fear God anymore. That kind of situation should make people afraid. And fear, some fear is good and needed many times. The guards at the tomb of Jesus were so afraid of the angel, they shook and just fell down like they were dead. I could understand that. The problem is people don't fear God any more than nothing. They have no more fear of God than they do of an airplane that's going to hit them head on. See, people should fear God, whether you can see Him or not. Listen, who you think made all this stuff? Made everything that you have possible, your jobs, your livelihood, your homes, and the things that you eat every day, the air that you breathe. God created it all. We take it all for granted. We take it all for granted. We should. It's of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 31. So it tells us it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Let me tell you. But listen to what the Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. And fear not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to kill both body and soul. Amen. That's who we need to fear if we're going to fear anybody. I read a little story about an agnostic who was giving a seminar about his agnosticism, however you pronounce that. And he took his stopwatch out, or his watch out, and he took it to the crowd. He said, "Listen, there ain't no God. I don't believe there's a God. Look here, God, I'm going to put 5 minutes on my stopwatch, and if you don't kill me in 5 minutes, he said, I'm going to prove there's no God." So everybody was quiet, and most people, the God-fearing people, was really scared. So he held it up there for 5 minutes. 1 minute went by. 2 minutes went by. 3 minutes went by. 4 minutes went by. 5 minutes went by. Nothing happened. He closes his stopwatch. And says, "See there? There ain't no God." No. Born again, blood washed, saint, child of God on the back. Let me say something, my friend. Let me tell you this. You can't tell me. Don't ever think you could exhaust the patience of God in 5 minutes. Amen. We serve a patient God who patiently waiting for us to give our lives to Him and live for Him and fear Him. We should fear God, even though He's a loving God. He's a fearful God. We should fear God. We don't fear Him anymore. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. I'm so thankful that I serve a God who is long-suffering, who has patience. I'm so glad that God had the patience with me. And one thing I do is fear God and love Him and serve Him all at the same time. Amen. The third happening was the women ran. Let's look at verse 8. "And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples' word." But now, isn't that something? Now, these ladies are running out of there. They're going, they see He's not there. They start running out with fear, but also they had joy. That's amazing. How many times have you been so scared that you had joy at the same time? That's amazing. Listen, that's only God could create that kind of scenario. Somebody be scared to death and having joy at the same time. Amen. I read a little story about a retired couple who decided to get some exercise or something, and me and Libby might need to start doing. I've been thinking about that. I'm out of shape. And they said, "Well, we're going to walk 2 miles every day." And what we'll do, we'll have to walk out there, so we'll know we'll have to walk back. It'll make 2 miles. So the first morning, they walked out a mile, and they stopped, and the husband told his wife, said, "Honey, are you tired?" She said, "No." "Are you okay?" She said, "Yes." He said, "Well, can you go another mile?" She said, "Yes." He said, "Well, go back and get the car and come back and get me. I don't feel like riding." Amen. Amen. Listen, we all need exercise, but some people just can't do it. A lot of people can't run, and some can't even walk, but walk very far. Actually, running is good for a person. It's good for the cardiovascular part of your body. And actually, if you can ever get going, it'll give you more energy. I tried that one time, and it really did give me some energy until I quit trying. You know, we just get a little bit, you know, it strengthens the heart muscles, it increases energy, helps weight loss, and so on and so forth. So why did these women run? They ran to tell the good news of Jesus Christ had risen from the dead, and that's exactly what is needed today. We need to be runners for Christ and start telling people that Jesus Christ is alive and well, and He's coming back again one day. We don't run it. We'll run to Walmart. We'll run to the ball game. Hit it, Johnny! Run, Johnny! But when it's talked about running and telling others about Jesus, we slow down. We get so slow, we have to speed up to stop. We need to be runners for Christ. We need to be running and telling this world that's lost and dying world how good God is. Those women ran. We don't have to have something miraculous like that to make us run, because if He saved your ever dying soul, that should be miraculous enough. If I can get it out. A famous violinist, he earned a fortune playing the violin, but he was so generous with his money, he gave most all of it away. And he ran across a violin that was very, very rare. He did not have the money to play it. And so he went out and earned enough money. He came back to the store to buy it. The seller had already sold it to a collector. He found who the collector was. He went to the collector's house. He said, "Can I buy this violin?" He said, "No, that's one of a kind. I'm not going to sell it." He started to leave. He said, "Well, listen, could I play it one last time before you put it up forever?" He said, "Yeah, you can do that." So the violinist took the violin, he started playing that thing. And the music was so sweet to the collector's ear, he started crying. He said, "Listen, you just take it and you let the world hear how the sweet music coming out of that violin." I said that to say this. Listen, if we are children of the King, we should be running and tell the good news to other people. Let them hear what Jesus did for us and you and me and everybody else when He died on Calvary and rose again in 3 days. Listen, we have no right to keep the resurrection to ourselves. We should want to tell others. It should make us excited to tell someone else about that. We have no right to keep that sweet music of Jesus Christ with just to us. We need to share it. We need to share it. We must be runners for Christ. Run with the good news. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He's alive and He's well, and He still wants to gather His children together, and He still wants to save the lost. Amen. And then the fourth thing, and I'm going to hurry. The fourth happening was the Savior appeared. Amen. Verse 9 tells us, "And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, 'All hail!' And they came and held Him by the feet and worshiped Him." I believe I'd have done the same thing. If I saw Him walk, if I was in that same situation, I would have bowed down and grabbed His feet. "Don't leave." I would have grabbed a hold of it. You ever had your child grab you on the foot trying to carry him around? That's what he'd been doing to me. He'd have to carry me around on his feet, but I'd had both of them though. Amen. We don't realize how great He was, what He did for us. See, if that wasn't happening, I don't know what a happening is. In Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul was defending himself against King Agrippa, if you remember, and he preaches to him. He's telling him about Jesus and what God's done for him, but he's having to defend himself while he'd been preaching the gospel, if you remember. And then Paul, in verse 8, Paul tells the King Agrippa this: "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise from the dead?" What he's saying is, why should it be so incredible that God could raise someone from the dead? Yeah. because he's that powerful. And then Paul begins to witness to this king. He keeps pounding the gospel to him and telling him this and planting the seeds. And listen, and the king begins to get under conviction. Then about verses 27, 28, the king Agrippa tells Paul. I mean, Paul tells him, listen, I know you believe. I know you believe in Jesus Christ. I know you believe in God. But King Agrippa finally says, almost thou persuade me to be a Christian. Listen, here today, if you're almost persuaded to be a Christian, don't be almost. Go ahead and be persuaded. You need to get right with God. Listen, there's no better life than live from Jesus Christ. There's no such joy that you can get. I can tell you how great it is until you got that happening in your life. And I'm glad I got it in mine. Listen, when the world thinks about raising the dead, they think about zombies walking around or people getting out, something you've seen in a movie. They don't think about a holy raising when Jesus was raised out of that. Listen, when the Bible says that his grave clothes were laying up, were folded up. Listen, you know what that represented? So when people had their napkins and he had whatever he had over there, you know, when they went out to eat back in those days, if they folded a napkin, they had to get up, go to maybe smoke a cigarette, whatever they had to do. They folded a napkin a certain way. So when the waiter came by, they knew they was coming back. But if they weren't coming back, they folded a napkin another way. And they knew that they wouldn't come back there again, so don't worry about it. They won't see them again. But when Jesus had his grave clothes folded in a certain way, what it meant to say, well, listen, I've been here, I laid here, but I ain't never coming back this way again. Amen. That's praise the Lord. Listen, we don't think it's real, because it's not human reasoning. But this world is walking by sight and not by faith. We must walk by faith. We must live by faith. We must live for Him by faith. If God could create the heavens and the earth, then He could. Why couldn't He raise someone from the dead? You always heard that the proof is in the pudding. You know what that actually means? It means if your pudding's good, let me taste it and see. That's what I'd say it means. Or if your fried chicken's good, let me taste it and see if it's any good or not. If it's good as my grandma's used to be. But Christ's appearance and that he indeed was going to come back from the dead was proof when that stone was rolled away when he walked out of that grave. Listen, why don't you just start serving the risen Savior today? Why don't you just give your life to him? If God can raise the dead, just think what he could do in your life today. Just think what he could do if you were surrendered to him. Or, preacher, I can't give up all my stuff. What do you mean stuff? I thought the same thing for a lot of years. I liked that little party time. I thought that was it. That's what I liked. Maybe had enough religion for both of us, so I didn't have to worry about that. Let me tell you something. God changed all that. You don't have to give up nothing. He'll take it from you. And that's a habit you need to get a hold of someday. I think about that old song, I serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. No matter what men say, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. You need to be a little excited about it. And if you're saved, you can sing the last verse. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your hands and say, eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ, the King, the hope of all who seek him, help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along my narrow way. When the stones are in my way, he moves them out of my way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how. I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Listen, if you can't sing that today, you are missing out on something great. You're missing out on the Easter happening that you could get today if you bowed an altar. Listen, Jesus arose from that grave and he is alive and well today. Church, if you want to be where it's happening, be at the Savior's feet. That's the happening you need to be at. Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. Leave it when you come. He's alive, church. He's alive in my heart today. He's alive because he rose from the grave and he can be alive in your heart if you just let him. If you would ask him, say, Lord, would you be my Savior? What's happening? The resurrection is what was happening. Would you give your life to him today? Would you give your heart to him today? Let me tell you this before I close. In 1991, Desert Storm, Ruth was informed that her first class, that her son, first class Clayton Smith, had stepped on a line mine and was killed. And Ruth later wrote, I can't begin to describe my grief. It's more than I can bear. And for 3 days, she wept, and nobody would speak to her. They could not even talk to her. She was such in a mode of grief, and I can only imagine what that would be like. No one could console her. Then after 3 days, the phone rang. And the voice on the other said, Mom, it's me, it's Clayton. They made a mistake. The message was a mistake. Can you imagine what that would be like? 3 days, it's like he came back from the grave. And that's kind of the way Jesus Christ was. After 3 days, he come back again. Makes you want to run back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Tell someone about Jesus. If you can't get excited about that, you can't get excited about nothing. Amen. Easter happenings. The best one when Jesus arose. Would you let him be the Lord of your life today? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your son that died on Calvary. And I thank you, Lord, when he came back, walked out of that grave 3 days later. Lord, I've done the best I can today. I ask you, God, just to use it for your glory. If there's one here that's been touched, Lord, help them to realize I need to step in that aisle. Walk to this altar and just bow down and really get with what's happening. That's living for you. And God, I'll praise you for what you're going to do in the rest of this service. In your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand, please?